Welcome to the Near Post Local, football and futsal in the capital region, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. I'm Peter Funnell. In tonight's program, we have the first of our Near Post Local club series. It's our intention to speak to as many clubs in the ACT as wish to speak to us. This time round, we speak at length to the President and Vice President of Gungahlin United FC. Gungahlin United is a club that services all its football constituency. They are in an area of massive growth in the ACT region, and it will be no surprise, therefore, to hear that managing growth is their top priority. They don't get much support in their service to football, but they do have to find the money to pay some pretty big bills. How does about $60,000 for hiring playing surfaces and fields for training and games grab you? It's all voluntary and it's all hard work, but they are fortunate to have good club officials, a working committee, volunteers, never enough of course, and a legion of players who are doing good things. There is some very interesting news for the listener in the wind at the moment, which may impact positively on our men's Premier League. The first is that the AIS is said to have approached Capital Football to enter a team in the local Premier League next season. If it does, it may provide non-scholarship playing opportunities for a small number, and 4 to 5 was the number I heard, of our 17 to 20-year-old male players. Now, if this happens, it will be just sensational for a couple of reasons. First, we need another quality team in the Premier League. Secondly, it will make a small but welcome contribution to the prospects for a few of our most talented young players that would not otherwise have materialised. And thirdly, the AIS coaches get a chance to observe a good many other ACT players, and who knows where that leads. But that said, there's a bit more information we should take note of. There is a dark cloud on the horizon where AIS is concerned. There's a very unwelcome push to reduce funding to the AIS, and rumour has it that the football program is under the microscope and may lose its funding. That is, no AIS football. Now, this would be a disaster on so many fronts. And remember, football was one of the foundation sports when the AIS was created. But you can see how the bureaucrats could come to this conclusion. The FFA set the National Youth League, as part of the A-League club franchise, to establish the development pathway for young players. So why duplicate at the AIS would be the thought of some. And add to that all the mindless criticism that's gone around about the young Australians' performance at the under-17 and under-20 World Cups. And anything, of course, is then possible. If that happens, it's all off for participation in our Premier League, and we will have lost one of the most valuable football institutions in Australia. With or without the entry to the AIS, to the Men's Premier League, there is talk of recasting the structure of the Men's Premier League here in the ACT. Now, I have to say this makes good sense to me. At present, a Premier League licence requires a club to provide 4 teams. A Premier League, that is first grade, a Premier League Pathways, that is, let's say, reserve grade, a Premier League Under-18s and a Premier League 16s. So a licence requires you to produce 4 teams of players. A rethink on this structure is very timely, and there are a few options. Most include the obvious first level, which is Premier League, first grade. But after that, the opinions differ a lot amongst the people in clubs. The most attention in discussion seems to be given to the pathways level, that is, that reserve grade level. This is one part of the Capital Football Premier League structure, and I refer you to the competition rules about how many players by age, etc., you can have in that pathways team, which is in need of some work. So how about this? Why not adjust the playing conditions within those competition rules to get something closer to a youth league type age group as the second level in our competition? And then we have a contribution to that development pathway for the 17 to 20-year-old players. There is a lot to consider on this subject, not least of which is, if you do create some sort of youth league type structure as the second level, What do you do about Premier League 18s and Premier League 16s? Yes, there's a bit to consider, and the junior league clubs will have strong views about that. As one football official commented to me last Sunday, quote, "Just how do we in the football community, or the clubs, have this conversation with Capital Football, and please don't tell me it's through the Men's Standing Advisory Committee or the regional rep," unquote. Well, I have to say I couldn't agree more. Capital Football don't always have a good track record where communication is concerned, by their own admission. But we must hope for better things, and this would be a good starting point and an important one. Now on another front, futsal. Futsal registrations are soon to begin, or have begun in some cases. Teams are being formed, and the season isn't all that far away. I'm reliably informed that interest in the Boomerangs FS has gone through the roof. You will recall that this is the club, our one ACT club, that has played in the New South Wales Super League for the last 2 years and has now been promoted to the prestigious New South Wales Premier League. This is the futsal club to go to if you want to play first-class futsal every week. Make yourself competitive for selection to the ACT age rep teams to contest the Nationals in January 2012. Chance to engage in first-rate pre-season preparation for football in 2012. The Boomerangs are a massive success story in futsal and football. They're almost the model of how things can be done. And here's something else that's now very obvious and should be very obvious to sports administrators. Their success has ensured support. Parents and players are voting with their feet. Now back to Gungahlin United FC. Sit back with a restorative medicinal and listen in on this very informative fireside chat with the President and Vice President of Gungahlin United FC. This is part one of the interview. Part two will be available on the Blogspot in podcast later this week. I think you'll find this most informative. We're speaking to Gungahlin United tonight. Gungahlin United Football Club. They're the powerhouse in the north of Canberra. This is the sleeping giant in junior and senior football. If you haven't woken up to it, after this interview you will have. And to help us on our way here are the President and Vice President of Gungahlin United, President Mark Walker and Vice President Phil Granger. Gentlemen, hello.
Evening. Thanks very much.
Oh, righto. Where to begin? Okay, let's kick off with a bit of history about Gungahlin United. Who's going to take us away?
Okay. Originally, we were a club that was associated with Gungahlin Juventus. And
that's an old name.
Yes, that's an old name. Still around.
Yeah.
We then split off into a junior club only. And 2006, we incorporated seniors back into the side again. So we became a junior and senior club all in one of the few. And at the moment, we're looking at around 1,300 juniors and 150 seniors to kick us off.
Wow. Okay. That's a lot of players.
It is.
Ooh. And what does it look like from the president's view across this empire, Mark?
It looks good. It's a growing beast with the new suburbs coming online every year.
Yeah.
Sometimes several per year.
You're in a big growth area there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And it's, you know, obviously that brings its own challenges in terms of, you know, fields and things like that especially. And, you know, in fact, growth is something that, you know, we've not really actually focused on in terms of making sure we maximise growth because we just don't have the support services, infrastructure and people to deal with growing too fast.
Yeah.
So we've actually had to work very hard on making sure our growth rate is, you know, we're growing, but we're growing sustainably.
That's the problem with football, isn't it? I mean, football is going big gangbusters, particularly women's football, and we'll get on to Phil's story in a minute with the Premier League. But you've got all the classic growing pains, haven't you?
Yes, yes, we definitely do. Everything from infrastructure to coaching to
volunteers.
Volunteers. It is a big feat.
How do you go with volunteers?
Difficultly.
Like the rest of us, eh?
Yes, yes. It seems like in today's society that your volunteering side of things is not as prominent as it used to be.
Mm. Yeah, good point.
But we have got a very good bunch of volunteers at the moment, but always we can do with more.
Yeah.
It's an added challenge given the transient nature of the Gungahlin population as well, because we have a very high concentration of defence housing.
I didn't realise that, yeah.
So we find a lot that we get, you know, you might get a really good coach in 1 year, and 2 years, you put a couple of years of work into making sure that they've done their courses and things like that, and then 3 years later, they get posted out. So it's very difficult to build the, you know, the old school network, the club network, the club ethos, and have people be around for a long period of time when you have that really high transient population.
The consistency of the service is not there as what it would be with some other clubs.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's an interesting one. That's not one that's been referred to by clubs that I've spoken to in the last 2 or 3 years. Wow, that's a biggie.
But it has its pluses.
Mm.
Yep.
Because we get postings from overseas, so we'll have military personnel from the US or England.
Yep.
And quite a few of them have quite high qualifications. So.
Serious footballers.
Yes. And then we snavel them up as quick as we can get them.
Oh, good one. Oh, okay. Right, I'll stop feeling sympathetic. Oh, dear, oh, dear. Well, so you've got 1,300 juniors and 115 seniors. Tell us how that breaks down in your club.
Depends on where you want to draw the line on seniors versus juniors a little bit. You know, do you classify the Premier League girls, for example, in seniors?
Well, let's sector the Prems out, yeah.
But it's a roughly three quarters split. One of the things we've seen over the last 2 to 3 years especially is the female participation rates going through the roof. The growth has been very strong in the female.
Yeah, that's reported everywhere, isn't it?
Both in junior and in senior.
Yeah.
Senior's actually been very quick and growing.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, we try and also encourage, if you have a child playing in the club, there's no point you standing on the sideline as well. Go have a kick yourself and get around.
Oh, nice touch. Yeah, good one.
So we have quite a few parents and children playing in the club.
Yep.
And in fact, we have one family who has, I think,
seven
players.
You're joking.
All from the one family, and not parents, just all kids.
Well, there's only one solution, and that's one club for the lot. How would you handle it otherwise?
That makes it easy for us if we do have the seniors and juniors combined, because then you also tap into that for your volunteering base and the fact that if they're playing for the club themselves, their kids are playing for the club, then it's a no-brainer for them. They come along and join the party.
Where's your clubhouse?
The clubhouse is at Harrison, just behind the primary school and the new high school.
Sorry.
It's being built at the moment.
And you've got playing surfaces there?
So we have the clubhouse central to 4 playing surfaces, and then another 2 off to the side, so 6 full-size pitches.
6, okay. What condition are the playing surfaces in?
It's a couple of varying answers to that. The 2 neighbourhood ovals were built first, so they've been down for a couple of extra years.
Yeah.
They're quite good. They're a couch playing surface in fairly good condition.
Mm.
And the 4 newer ones are a different type of couch, and they've only been down for 2 years.
12 to 24 months.
24 months.
That's not long.
No, they're quite young and they're suffering for it.
There were some issues with the laying and the acquisition of the fill to do the maintenance at the start of the season, which meant we had 600 tonnes of sandy topsoil on the pitches the week before we started the season this year.
What is it about this sandy topsoil? Someone must have cornered the market in ground maintenance here, because Mawson got a tonne dumped on it and Woden and Close got a tonne dumped on it, and they're a mess.
It's a special mix.
Jeez, there must be a beach missing a lot of sand, is all I can think.
Yeah, well, that didn't do us any favours, that's for sure.
And there were there were several of our players that were tempted to register for beach football on my football club.
Oh, it's cruel, though, isn't it?
It makes it for an interesting game when there's 2-inch thick sand on the top of the surface.
Good grief.
Now, but things are looking up.
They are definitely looking up.
Now, what are those playing surfaces cost your club per annum? I don't know.
Yeah, so training-wise, we train not just there because only two of those fields have lights at the moment.
Good point. Okay. Yep.
So there's only two of those in use for training, but we also use Nichols and Palmerston for training as well. But our training bill for this year is $36,000.
Wow. Okay. I hope the listener takes note of that. Hope the powers that be do too, and the ACT government. $36,000 to mount your operations.
That's only for training?
That's only for training.
That doesn't include Saturdays or Sundays for friends.
So what are we adding on to that?
I haven't seen that bill yet. That one comes from Capital Football at the end of the season.
Right. So what do you anticipate?
I believe it's somewhere in the order of another $20,000 to $30,000.
Yeah.
Because the playing rates are roughly double what the training rates are. But there's not as much.
No, you tend to have one team following another on the fields.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, the reason I'm just dwelling on that for the listener that might not have their head into the operation, the administration of junior football, or football at any level, really. What we've got here is a club that is sitting on a massive growth area, building as furiously as it can. And the first problem you've got to solve is, where do we train and play?
Yeah, and it's one we've been trying to answer for quite a few years now.
Yes.
And it's not getting any easier, unfortunately. They actually did a study a while back, and per 1,000 residents in Queensland and Brisbane had 1.4 hectares of open space allocated to them.
Yes.
And in Gungahlin it was 0.4.
Wow.
And it's because Gungahlin's quite a high medium density
area. It is, isn't it?
Area.
Yeah.
A lot of the multi story apartment buildings and duplexes.
Yep.
And they're maximising their footprint on the building area. So someone's got to have somewhere to go kick a ball.
Yep.
And there's not that many spaces for that to happen.
Yeah, and we're only talking about our game, aren't we?
Mm.
Now, interestingly enough, on those areas that you do all the football, does anyone do anything else on those surfaces other than you?
We're lucky in that the arrangement we have at the moment with Harrison with the six fields is that it's shared by us in winter and cricket in summer,
okay,
which is great from a winter sport perspective
because
we don't have other codes training on the pitches.
Yeah.
We do, however, still need to use Nichols as well, and Nichols synthetic, both the grass and the synthetic pitches, as the pitches at Harrison weren't in good enough condition to play our women's prems on this year, so we've had to use the Nichols synthetic surface. And our seniors basically don't fit at Harrison, even with six pitches.
Right, where do they come
from? So they play at, on the Nichols grass pitches, Nichols 2 behind the high school, which rugby league and union both use.
Yeah.
And from a club point, it doesn't go well because you're then segmenting your seniors off from your juniors again. They don't get to see the clubhouse as much as what the juniors would.
Yeah.
So you're not combining all those forces to have that club unity.
Yep. Okay, so Gungahlin caters for juniors and seniors, boys and girls, men and women. Mm-hmm. So they've got the full Monty on football. Gotta love these clubs. Gotta love them. They're doing everything. Now, in fact, the only real true club, in my opinion, but that'll get me into trouble. Now,
not from us.
Good.
Absolutely not.
Good. Allies in the North. Now, it's important, I think, the listener knows that, we're obviously dealing in a lot of junior football. You're dealing in State League and Masters. when you get into the seniors, men's and women's here. So when I say all this, I mean men's and women's all the time. But what you've also done is you've ventured into Premier League. And on one hand, you've got the 16s and 18s, which I'll get you to talk about on boys. And on the other side, you've got a full women's Premier League operation. I'll get you to talk about that. Okay, can we lead off with the women's Premier League?
Not a problem.
Pretty fantastic, really.
It's been a wonderful year and still a few rounds left to go, so we'll see how we end up at the end of the season. But yep. Approximately 18 months ago, we started looking at including women's Prem into our program, mainly because we were sick and tired of losing our talented players to other clubs. Wanted them to have a pathway to end up. So in theory, a player can go from under fours and peewees all the way through to seniors, Premier League if they want, and they can finish their career in their 40s, 50s and masters all playing for the one club if they want to. So to give them a pathway, we ended up starting up Women's Prem, and took a fair bit of hard work and lobbying, and fortunately we were granted a license this year to venture in, and secured the services of a few coaches, and that's proved to be very successful.
Well, has it ever. I can't think of a better start to the Premier League men's or women's than Gungahlin's made in 2011. I still remember the Fed Cup game.
So do I. As far as our results this year so far, we came third in Fed Cup. Which was a dream come true, really, for us. Our 18s won the pre-prem tournament. They also took on Monaro in the Queanbeyan Mayoress's Cup. Took that trophy away.
Oh, nice one.
We ventured into Kanga Cup, which is something that we hold very dear to our club.
Yes, I want to talk about that.
And took out the 18s in the Kanga Cup as well. So as far as results go, in all three grades, we've been really quite pleased with what's going on.
Yeah, well, Gungahlin's developing into a, and the women's Premier League side, developing into real silver snatchers, you guys. You keep your trophies locked up. Well, just go back onto this Premier League. For the listener that mightn't be that familiar, you have to, in terms of the licence, you have to do a whole bunch of things that some of which are ordinary responsibilities that you would recognise in junior football, but there's a few others there that aren't, and there's some heavy responsibilities with the licence. But you, importantly, you have to field three teams, don't you?
Yes.
18s, reserves,
and Prem.
And Premier League, the first grade team. Now, did you have the playing roster available to you before the start of the season, or did you have to recruit it all?
We had both. We had the nucleus of our 18 side, and we were told, as you quite rightly point out, that you have to have three sides. So we set about recruiting for the rest of the squad. The Premier League side's nucleus is made up from O'Connor's United's 18s from last year, and a few of our more talented juniors from Gungahlin. It actually, in my opinion, and I'd argue the point wholeheartedly, I think we have the youngest Premier League side ever fielded in the comp. Our average age for our 18, sorry, our Premier League side is 16 and a half.
Yeah.
And
you know, you're probably right there. Woden would have probably claimed that mantle a couple of years ago, I think. But of course, their players have been maturing a bit, although they do cycle a few. Yeah, that's a good point, actually. It does look a very young side.
It is a very young side, and what will end up happening is if we can hold on to those players, because they are very talented, we'll be fielding a side in the next two or three years that maturity will come to, and the results will only go upwards.
Oh, I think that's a certainty. this holding of players, either in the women's Premier League or men's, is a real problem. It's probably understood better in the men's game, but people best understand that the women's Premier League clubs are hunting players too. They're not backward and stepping forward.
Oh no,
absolutely not.
I had a philosophy that's come out through the whole of the season that we just don't take no for an answer.
Yeah, good on you.
So if we want to try and do something, we just work our heart at it until we get it to happen.
Yeah, you've got to love community football. This is the way to go. This is the only way to go. And young players, I think, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but young players really need to give their club a go. Give it a chance. I mean, not everything comes in 5 minutes. You've got to work. You want a premiership, you're right. You've got to work a few years at it.
Yeah. Although, at the beginning of the season, I thought we might actually have a good chance of taking it out this year. Yeah.
Did you really?
Can't aim too high.
Well, I tell you what, okay, all right. I think you scared a few people in the pre-season. I think that wasn't what... I think people had in their mind that a new club would look like Brindabella Blues. Well, they don't.
We were told in no uncertain terms that the beginning of the season that we'll probably not travel so well for a few years.
Oh, yeah.
To put it bluntly.
We should expect to...
Should expect to lose.
Oh, yeah, righto.
And I thought to myself, well, why? Why do you have to?
Good.
We should aim a little bit higher, set the bar a bit higher, and hopefully that'll come through in the next couple of years.
Look, that's terrific. Now, do you have any players in your roster in that Premier League that are on ACTAS scholarships or training agreements?
We have one, yep.
Who's that?
It's Olivia Gurney.
Yep, she plays well.
At the moment, she's over with the ACTAS crew over in America touring. She'll be back very soon. And hopefully back into the squad.
Yep.
Because the ACTAS side of things does have its pros and cons.
Yeah.
On the amount of time that we're allowed to play those players.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a sensitive issue, that, isn't it?
Yeah. It's there's a lot of arguments bandied around about it.
Mm.
But to foster the players coming through, those juniors, especially players like Olivia, who are quite young, she's only 14. And again, trying to retain her for the club for the the next few years.
Yeah.
We try our best and work in with the ACTAS program as much as we can.
Yeah. And I think we should point out to the listener, at ACTAS you can have one or two arrangements. You can be on a full scholarship or you can have a training agreement.
Yes.
What's your young player on it?
She's on a full scholarship.
Full scholarship. So the heavy responsibilities there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can't just do what we want with that player.
No.
And we're working with Ray Juna with that, who helps us out with the playing time that we can have with her.
Yeah.
And it's working out all right.
The players like playing for their club, don't they?
Yes.
They like it. These friendship groups are terribly important.
I've actually been quite amazed with how well the group of girls that we have gotten together have come to the club.
Especially for a first-year squad, it's been incredible to watch.
Yeah, and the friendships that they formed.
They look pretty tight crew.
Yeah, no, they are awesome. I mean, we've drawn from nearly every club in Canberra, say, bar from Brindabella Blues.
Mm.
We've got ANU, we've got Radford, we've got Belco, we've got us. We tried to get a few from Canberra FC. They stayed where they were.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll wait to see what happens next year. They might come knocking on the door.
Oh, I think you're a big chance after this season. In your Women's Premier League side of things, do you operate on one sort of coaching philosophy across your three teams?
We try to, yes. Yeah. Yes. And that is with the national curriculum, with the 4-3-3.
Yep.
Sometimes playing variations on it, but essentially basing it on that.
Yeah.
And it proves to work.
Yeah, yeah. And when you train, could I ask you, when you train, do you train in separate teams or do you have a squad of the first two or you put them all together?
Okay,
how do you ordinarily approach that?
What we said about this year is we train on the nickel synthetic.
Yeah.
Which means that generally we won't not train. because the surface doesn't get closed out.
Yes.
Doesn't have renovation issues.
No sand.
So that means that we can train virtually every training session without any hiccups.
Yes.
What we do is we have our three sides training on there, one half of the field each, and our State League One women's side trains on the other one.
Yeah.
And that way we can observe each other doing what we're doing, observe the State League One if there are any players that want to step up for any spots to fill.
Yeah.
Eventually we'll have our 18s train there as well. So our 18 Div 1s, our State League 1s, both the feeder sides, both in the under 18s and the over 18s segment.
Yeah.
And they start off as a squad in the warm-up. Everyone does exactly the same as everyone else. Mm. And then they split off into their three teams and do their individual training. And again, you have player movement between the 18s, the reserves, and the reserves and the prem.
Have you got a bit of mobility this season? Have you found players moving up? And
Very much so.
Competition for places?
Yes, yes.
That's healthy.
In fact, we've had two of our under-18s debut in prems in the last few games.
Oh, right.
And one of them scored two on the first debut on the field. Scored another one the next week, so... it's a happy transition from 18s to prem. Much the 18s coach discussed, because he doesn't think he'll ever get it back again.
Oh yeah, that tests you. That tests your loyalty, doesn't it?
Yes. But no, as far as that goes, playing up and down, it happens all the time. Because the playing squad is so young, and they're eligible both in prems and in 18s, so they can go up and down.
Yeah.
Quite easily.
Look, I'd just like to continue on with this, because it's a very interesting club experience that you're having here, because you're coming off, I just remind us, you're coming off a quarter of your gender base is women.
Yes.
And you're campaigning a full suite of women's Premier League teams off a quarter of your club strength, playing roster strength. A sector that's increasing down the line. So this isn't going to dry out. This is just going to get bigger. So that's all good. Seems to me you've made a lot of good strategic decisions here. You hit it just at the right time. Now, what I wanted to ask you is, do any of your players in that Premier League roster participate in any of the Capital Football Development Programs?
As far as HPP goes?
Yeah.
Yes, there's...
Well, whatever its new name is.
Yeah. off the top of my head, there's probably been about 8 or 9 that have been to the HPP.
Yeah.
On a regular basis.
Yeah. Now, how does that fit with a Premier League campaign? Do you see it as an off-season activity? You know, if you're taking a club perspective here, end of season comes along for the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
We now have this awful long off-season.
No, you don't have an off-season at all.
That's my view too, but what do you guys do?
Okay, what will end up happening is select members of the squad will go into Premier League futsal.
Yeah, oh, good one.
Yep. Okay, so they never stop.
Yep.
We also run a Summer Sixes program.
Yes.
So there'll be teams entered out of the squad into that.
Yep.
To keep their touch.
Yep.
Mainly because futsal's not outdoor.
Yeah.
So you need to cater for both.
Yep.
And it's a situation where we're wanting to go into in futsal, not only for the players' perspective as far as keeping their touch on the ball, but also as a recruiting method. Other clubs, other teams, other players will see us and get to know us.
Good one.
So hopefully end up coming to see us.
Good bit of thinking.
Our trials will start in November anyway. So between finishing off in September, hopefully halfway through September, if you get that, my drift.
Yes, I do. Yeah. For the other clubs. Congratulations on the march.
You're only going to have like 6 weeks, 8 weeks at the most, where you may not be touching a ball.
Yeah, yeah. Look, it's just a reality now, isn't it? I mean, the major sports, well, it doesn't matter what they are, really are out to claim the young athlete 12 months of the year.
Mm. Absolutely, yeah. The other thing we will be doing is working with Fernwood in Gungahlin to put in place a bit of a program over the summer months and into the pre-season.
Yeah.
Strength and conditioning program.
Yep.
Oh.
So pre-season fitness is taken care of.
Oh, nice one. That's clever. Yeah. Well, okay, so the message there is, with Gungahlin, if we're looking at this Women's Premier League sector, which is the top echelon of the women's pathway in Gungahlin, it's whole of year, and they're about managing the players into activity all of the year. So you're getting a club experience all year. Okay, President Mark Walker, Vice President Phil Granger, thank you so much, gentlemen. You've been generous with your time.
Thank you very much, Peter.
Thanks very much, Peter.
You have been listening to the Near Post Local on 2XXFM, where too much football or futsal is never likely to be enough. Football and futsal in the capital region. Go to the podcast for this program at www.nearpostlocal.blogspot.com. You will find a lot of interesting interviews and items there for the discerning football or futsal tragic. Enjoy your futsal and football. See you next time. Ta-da.